Nino, Julian Ingram is still on the run. What can you tell us about the manhunt, where police think he might be now?
It's very difficult to say, to, I suppose, try and paint a little bit of a picture to the people listening for this. This is, you know, incredibly harsh country. We're talking about barren, red dirt, very little in terms of places to necessarily sort of shelter or get food. But Julian Ingram is incredibly well prepared for those sort of conditions and that sort of environment. You know, he's a brush cutter, which is, you know, someone who goes out specifically into these type of environments to basically clear undergrowth and make that place hospitable for farming and for fire trails and things like that. There are various huts and things for brush cutters in those areas. Some of those farms don't have people living on them necessarily, so they're monitored remotely, or they might have people who stop past every couple of days. So police are sort of saying they suspect he may have been getting help from somebody to sort of be, you know, still on the run, kind of, what is it now, 3-4 weeks almost later. He has also, it's probably worth noting, there was this sighting up at Mount Hope, which is, you know, around an hour kind of northwest of Lake Cajaligo. The fascinating thing to me, amongst many fascinating things about this manhunt, is it got to 45 degrees up there. I was walking around and I could barely spend sort of more than, you know, 15 minutes, half an hour outside. And this was the day after a reported sighting of him in Mount Hope. It's quite fascinating that he has managed to evade police all this time in a landscape that hospitable, in conditions that were almost intolerable, but very hard to know where he could be at this point in time.
And police seem to suggest that he's able to live off the land, like he has a skill set.
Yeah, that's right. He's known as having some sense of survivalist training and skills. There's various kind of speculation about the sighting that was made in Mount Hope, but one of the things I was told that he was seen close to a dam. It was a dry dam, but that would sort of potentially suggest he was trying to sort of seek out a water source in some way. The ute he had, or the ute he was seen fleeing in, is perfect for those conditions. And, you know, a white single cab ute is incredibly ubiquitous up that way. So it's not as if a white ute being seen kind of driving around at night would be unusual. And the other fascinating thing that I was kind of dwelling on up there was that because this landscape is so vast, you know, it's country for goats and kangaroos. It's not country for people. The chances of somebody happening across him, or him being seen on dash cam or on a, you know, home doorbell system or something like that, or even him being tracked by his mobile phone, is just so remote. So it's kind of got an analog feel to it. Police that are very used to being able to touch on a vast array of technological options to sort of track people down, dealing with a very analog offender in a landscape kind of stripped of a lot of the sort of stuff that you'd use in a more urban environment to try and track people down.
Just finally, do police hold any fears? Do locals hold any fears for their safety? Do they say he's a danger?
People I spoke to in Lake Cajaligo and in surrounds were quite worried about it. There was, you know, talk of him having a list potentially of people he was trying to work through, and that's why he targeted Nerida and stuff like that. And you know, this is typically what happens when you've got a crime this horrendous and a person on the run. You know, there's so much void for people to just, I suppose, sort of share their own truths in and try and make sense of. I think it's highly unlikely he does have such a list. But in saying that, this is a man who's allegedly murdered 3 people, who has at least 1 firearm. Police have been a little bit coy about how many he could have, and he's managed to evade hundreds of officers now for weeks. So it's quite natural there would be an element of fear there, particularly when you're talking about towns that are specks on a map, where someone could come in without you knowing and then be gone again in seconds. It's quite a foreboding place in that sense when you're talking about an armed alleged killer on the loose.
Nino, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you.
That was Justice and Courts reporter Nino Bucci. This episode was produced by Karishma Luthria and Miles Herbert. Sound design and mixing by Joe Koning. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. You can subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to follow us on Spotify too. I'm Regid Ahmed. See you soon.